Hello, Craig.
Hello, Jeff.
What's up, buddy?
You know, it's nice you saying that to me as you're looking me right in the eyes.
As I'm sitting right across the table from you.
Absolutely. So this is one of our rare recording in-person episodes, and we are live at Beer Star. This is Podcast Versus Everyone episode...
216?
216,
I think. Normally, so people don't know this little... making the sausage thing. Normally I put at the top of the cast, you know, like interface.
The recording interface that we usually use.
Which, you know, it's which episode it is, but since
I don't have
we're
that to look at.
Across from each other, we don't have that to look at. So
because we're just using a mixer.
Now I'm loading
like,
it up.
You know?
It is. I can confirm it's episode
216. I'm Craig Powers. With me as usual is Jeff Neusser. With me in person.
Yes.
Is Jeff Neusser.
Because we got together to watch the... NCAA championship game.
Yes.
Which was good for
UConn versus Purdue.
10 minutes.
It was really good for 10 minutes.
For 10 minutes, it was a spectacular game.
It seemed really ominous for Purdue when Zach Edey was absolutely dominating and they were still losing.
Yeah.
Like, they never had the lead, I don't think, at any point.
I mean, it was first 10 minutes or so, it was kind of back and forth.
Yeah.
And like,
But they Purdue was scoring at will, and
well, Edey was doing some defensive work.
Yes.
Like he had that one possession where he had like I don't know two or three blocks on the same possession. He was like he was doing some stuff, which was really really impressive and gave you some feeling that maybe you know this might be a great game, which is what I know you and I were both rooting for because we had no bracket stake. In this thing, but like
I literally had no bracket stake because I forgot to fill out a bracket.
Craig didn't even fill out the podcast versus everyone bracket.
I was too drunk in Omaha to fill out a bracket.
Yeah, I should probably look too and see which of our listeners actually won the.
I believe Sandritter
won the
is on top,
contest.
And he had Sandritter was on top, and he had UConn to win, so I think he would have won.
Are you looking at the podcast versus everyone group or the Coug Center group?
I don't know, man.
Cause
I can't even keep the slack straight at this point, dude.
I can't.
It's just too much.
Yeah.
My brain doesn't know which one is which most of the time.
But we do have the special Slack, the members only Slack.
Yes. The members only Slack has been an absolute blast through this otherwise shit bunch of weeks that we've had. We've also had to add an M's chat on there just because none of us were sad enough, I guess.
I know. You guys are like, I don't know. But then again, I'm like Sounders. You and I are both Sounders. But
shout
like,
out to Jen for her constant positivity.
Yes. I love that, by the way. You know, both of us are Sounders fans, but it's like, you know, I feel like you got to be a special kind of sad to be a Sounders fan and a Mariners fan.
Yeah.
Right now.
Well, like, hey, you were the Sounders fan 5-0.
That's true. You didn't get to go.
I didn't go to that one because I was still on train back from Oregon, which was totally worth it.
Yes. By the way, I do have a winner. I do have a winner for our podcast versus everyone bracket contest. It is Wade, and now I'm probably going to butcher this, but Isminger?
I don't know. I'm not looking at it. So.
Isminger.
Sure.
Isminger.
Sure.
Iminger.
Or Iminger.
Iminger?
Might just be
Iminger. I don't know. Wade's going to let us know.
Let us know, Wade. But congrats on winning.
Congrats, Wade. I'm going to be sending Wade a home field apparel
t-shirt. Hell yeah.
So Wade will get to choose his home field apparel Cougar t-shirt. I will send that.
It better be
to
a Cougar
him.
T-shirt.
Yeah. Well, no, that was part of the deal. Yeah. I'm like, I'll get a Cougar t-shirt for
to bump up those numbers.
So congratulations, Wade.
Congrats, Wade.
That kicks ass.
But yeah, the game, I mean, both the national championship games, the men's and women's, you had the, you know, the player of the year. Now, Zach Edey, player of the year, best player in the country, the same way Caitlin was, no. But most impactful player,
sure.
Yes.
Yeah.
But you had...
The most dominant player.
Yeah,
right?
The most dominant player. There you go. We'll say that. And but the games both played out so similarly,
yep.
In that South Carolina, incredibly well-coached team. UConn, incredibly well-coached team. And both had length, athleticism. Like, they're just, like, so fucking
and
good.
Depth,
shooters,
too.
Depth.
Like, that's the
both
thing.
Both teams, depth. And you had both games start out with that incredible player.
Yep.
In black and gold, scoring at will. You know, obviously Iowa got out to a massive lead. It was 10-0, 20-7, whatever it was. But then eventually the talent, the coaching, everything took over on the depth, like you said. Just like the two teams that won these titles, like it's so deserving teams,
yep.
Dominant teams. That were just actually fun to watch and just what they do.
Yeah.
It sucks to have, like, the dominant teams, like, win. It kind of,
yeah.
But at least they weren't, like, I don't know, like, watching Virginia win the title for a...
Yes.
Like it's like, okay, they're just making every game fucking ugly as hell.
Yes.
Like, a lot of the teams, you know, like, if Houston would have won the title, it would have been, like, 52-49
yes.
game or whatever. Which, you know, we have a special place in our heart for that at Wazoo. But yeah, like, just the way UConn executes, the way South Carolina
yep.
brutalizes teams on the offensive glass.
Yes.
Like, it's just like, I love the styles they both play.
Yeah.
UConn did not let Purdue shoot three-pointers.
No.
Like, they were just like, no, you're not going to – I know, I was watching with you, and you're just like, shoot threes. And then you're watching, and you're like, they're guarding them out to 5 feet beyond the line. I think one Purdue tried to shoot one, it got blocked. Like,
yep.
It was just, like, nuts to watch.
Yeah.
That second half of both these games where the better team took over and like, basketball, like, it's just, like, you always think as a fan, you're like, can this just be my team, like, once? Like, can my team do that?
No, your team cannot. You are a Seattle fan and a Cougar fan. But, like, there's something to be said. I mean, obviously you want a good game, right?
Yeah.
Like that's the first thing you want as a neutral. But I will say, if you can't get a good game, I do love the excellence
yeah.
of South Carolina and UConn, both of them. Like, if I can't get a great game, then at least, you know, give me something that I can appreciate. And both of those teams, truly, I can appreciate both of them. Like you mentioned, you know, South Carolina, the way that they just overwhelm people on the offensive glass, the way that they make baskets in the paint, it really...
The way they,
like,
added freshman shooters
yeah,
this year, and they
right?
just, like, are bombing away at wide open threes
yeah, no big
off those offensive rebounds.
Yeah,
just
you've got the most dominant interior force in the women's game, plus...
Basically, like the Zach
Edey
of,
Yeah. And so, you know, you watch them, and as much as you want to see a great
Cardoso,
game.
We're talking about Cardoso,
yeah, Cardoso,
of course.
You know, as much as you want to see a great game, you can still watch a team dominate and, you know, just be impressed by what they're able to do. And then UConn, of course, does it in a completely different way than South Carolina. I mean, South Carolina really just overwhelmed Iowa with their strength and their size and their athleticism.
Yeah.
You know, and then, of course, their shooting sort of created the separation. But,
yeah.
You know, UConn, like, the thing that I think, like, you kept pointing out as we were watching the game was just how many fucking open shots they get.
Yeah.
Like, it's crazy.
They run, I've read about it, they run complicated sets, but they execute them to perfection. Like, you can't just copy them, because you have to get that level of execution out of your players, especially when you have a, you know, 4-star and above players like UConn has.
Yep.
To get them to play defense, they do the way they do, to commit. They're just like, they have a philosophy on both sides of the ball, and these players are fully committed to it.
Yep.
I'm guessing there was a point in the season when they weren't, because they were just beating the shit out of teams on talent. And because, you know, they lost a game by 20. Yeah. Like, it's like, but that was probably the best thing that happened for them, because after that, they just mowed people down.
Yep.
And it's, well, you know, obviously South Carolina, the only scare they had was when they won on Cardoso hitting a three-pointer, first three-pointer of her career, banking it at the buzzer or whatever. But, yeah, like, but that was the only really scare, I think, all year that South Carolina had. But,
yeah.
But, yeah, like, just two incredible teams to watch in the tournament. It was, you know, just the spectacle of Caitlin Clark versus South Carolina was amazing. That was so fun. The spectacle of Zach Edey versus UConn was fun. Like, this is a, you know, it's people will be like, oh, it's one seed's going through, it's chalk. But, yeah, sometimes it's really fun when it's chalk.
Yeah.
Because you get those amazing matchups.
Yep.
And the like, we had, you know, it was UConn on the women's side getting UConn versus Iowa. That was, like, the game of the tournament.
Yep.
Just an incredible game.
Yep.
Yeah, so it's really fun. Obviously, no game against South Carolina was good. No game against UConn was good.
No.
I would say. But.
And here's how good UConn was. So going into the game, so KenPom is not refreshed yet. It'll refresh at some point here when we're recording. But UConn entered the game 4.3 points per 100 possessions better than Purdue, which I know, like, sounds really terrible on a podcast in terms of, like, trying to, like, provide context, but, like, UConn was 35.6 points better than the average Division I team per 100 possessions, right? Purdue was 31.3. Houston was just a tick behind them. Auburn, the number four team, was 28 points better. So UConn was like 7.5 points better
than the
for 100 possessions than the number four team. Like, the spread
was so huge
between them and everybody, and that's just going to go up after beating the shit out of Purdue as well.
In the context of, like, Wazoo in a second round tournament team, they were 16.3 points better than than the average D1 team.
Right.
And so, and UConn's more than twice better than that.
35.6. And they were predicted to beat Purdue by 3.
They had UConn number one adjusted O, fourth best adjusted D. They might even, you know, jump a team there after what they did to Purdue.
So I'm sure they're going to finish over
37.
36 or 30. Yeah, I don't know if they'll go over 37. But
I mean, they'll beat the second team by 15 points.
They'll definitely be over 36. Gonzaga.
Oh, yeah, 36. Yeah,
Gonzaga in 2021 was 36.4, 36.5. So they might beat that. And Gonzaga, of course, famously did not win the national championship that year.
Thank God. That was on my birthday.
You know, couldn't beat Baylor. And as I continue to go back on KenPom, like, truly, there's nobody.
Also, shout out UConn for not playing anyone in the non-conference schedule.
They played a crap non-conference schedule, and it just did not matter.
Yeah, there's nothing, like, it doesn't matter.
I mean, they might end up being the number one rated team in the KenPom era in terms of points above efficiency. So. Yeah, they're really fucking good, man. I don't know. I love witnessing greatness. I know I'm maybe alone in that one.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm not alone, but, like, I just, like, for me, like, witnessing greatness is sort of like the ultimate, and
yeah,
and that's, and what UConn,
we definitely
was.
Saw that tonight.
This is not a UConn podcast,
yeah. We'll stop talking about. We're still waiting.
We're hoping to
one shining
one
woman
shining
comes
moment
on
here. Yep. Yep.
We're watching the TVs.
Yep.
It's not a UConn podcast, but Wazoo, there's definitely stuff we have not talked about because we haven't recorded in a couple weeks.
We have a coach now.
Yeah, we have a coach. it was a hell of a journey to get there.
Yes.
But yeah, honestly, the journey gave me a better opinion of the coach they landed by the end. Honestly, you and I talked about a lot of, like, if we're doing the Big Sky coach, like,
Yeah.
Why are we doing the Big Sky Coach? It's only 1 year and finished in the middle.
Year.
Yeah.
Yes.
And so obviously Logie, that whole story, Matt Norlander, obviously getting from Logie's agent that WSU had offered him. And,
yep.
And then we had heard, and then he declined, and we had heard that he actually got a pretty big pay raise, but that didn't, there were, from
wasn't
what has been reported,
quite as big as
what we thought. What it really wasn't. Yeah. Like it wasn't that as big, but he did get a raise. So, but you know, it kind of seems like he really wasn't ever offered, to be honest. And that's like an agent nonsense. Yep. Because it seemed like Riley was the guy, David Riley from Eastern was the guy that, WSU wanted the whole time.
Yep.
And as many people have said, he was on vacation in Mexico.
Yep.
And so they were just waiting for him to come back.
Yep.
To give that formal offer. I'm sure that they, you know, sent something over email or whatever.
Yep.
You know, as somebody who's, worked remotely forever.
Like the DocuSign when, yeah, you're, dude, 100%, like, when you're like signed, getting a mortgage.
I've worked remotely for a long time. I've signed all my, like, I've signed all everything as over DocuSign
E-sign,
and all
like,
that. Like, I...
And
you know,
I'm just now I'm imagining him sitting next to a pool in Mexico, just being like getting his phone out and going, oh, they sent over the contract. Ah, I don't feel like signing that
now. So, knowing how coach contracts work, I'm sure he did not sign that until he got back.
Sure, I'm sure it was an MOU.
But he may have been like offer letter.
Yes.
Yes, I agree to that type situation.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
But yeah, like I it seems like the guy they wanted. And the more you dig into it, you know, we talked about where he ranked, and he was below Chris Victor for us, you know, for me, I don't know about you, but for me, because Chris Victor's defense.
Yep.
But yeah, I think like the more you look at how he approaches things.
Yeah.
I don't necessarily think it's he's someone that's going to ignore defense. Maybe
no.
He's just at Eastern where his resources were limited, so he just went for what? And yeah, obviously WSU, his resources are limited, is what you would say if we were still in the Pac-12. Now WSU's going to have better resources than all but one of the teams, one or two of the – probably St. Mary's probably has better basketball resources than Wazoo at this point, but they're going to have more resources than at least
– yep.
You know, almost the entire conference that they're dealing with.
Yep.
And so he's not going to be at that resource. Because even Eastern, even among Big Sky teams, just the way the athletic department has had such struggles, they were not doing that well. But
well, and I think that most people don't have a good handle on just how, like, just how much of a struggle Eastern's athletic department has been. Like, the coach that preceded him there, Shante Liggins, like, I don't know if you remember, but when he left, I remember thinking, like, holy shit, he's leaving Eastern to go to Portland. Like, he left to go to Portland.
Yeah.
Right? Like, that's not a good job, right? Like, that's not a good WCC job, you know? But he was like, Eastern's, if I remember correctly, it felt like Eastern's athletic department was sort of on the brink of collapse.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Like, they were in serious financial trouble. You know, Liggins runs away. Riley gets the job at 32 years old or whatever. And
every single player left.
Yeah.
Like, he got no one left on the roster.
Yep.
So these two solid teams he's had the last 2 years, he completely built.
Yep.
You know, I think, yeah, he had Venters, but then Venters left. And so, like, yeah, it was just – and we – so, yeah, he did things that Eastern coach has done before, but I think he was at even more difficult.
Yeah, I agree.
Thing and I think his ability to build up at that roster, that's good. What's really and honestly, what the stuff that he said, WC being like a dream job, the statement he released through Eastern about just a very genuine and candid statement, like. It's very impressive stuff. He seems like a good guy to have on.
Like he actually wrote that whole thing.
Yeah, he had to. Like, that's...
like I'm reading this going, like, my first thought was, I'm not going to read this. That's way too long. And then I, like, okay, I zoomed in, and I'm like, oh, this is really heartfelt and super sweet. Like, I think he's a really...
And from what we heard, what we've heard is he's super energetic.
Players love him.
He was always a big guy in recruiting on Eastern in the 13 years he was there. Now, and I fully expect him to create a solid offensive squad.
Yeah.
And then what I think when it comes down to like the defense is it's who he hires for his assistants.
Yep.
Because we saw like Kyle was defensive coach, but really it was Shaw that had the mass, especially this year, the massive impact on the defense.
Yep.
And then obviously hiring recruiters. So yeah, like just who are the assistants they're going to hire, all that. And
yeah.
I'm not going to pretend to like know who's going to hire. Obviously we would love if he hired John Anderschick. You know, if Anderschick came along and was on the staff.
We would not hate that.
And we would not hate that. I think that would provide, you know, both on a defensive end. We know John values defense. We know he's a smart guy who can figure out defenses. And we know that he's a great recruiter.
Yeah.
So
Jalen Wills, one shining moment. Jalen Wills, one shining moment. All right, sorry.
What shot? What was it?
It was just he was like clapping his hands on defense. Sorry, folks, you're getting the live recording.
Yeah. We're watching one shining moment now.
One shining moment sitting here at the bar.
Jalen was probably our only shot we're going to get, but
it was like a close up of his
face.
They
do really do try to get everyone in it now.
Yeah, it was funny. We were talking about that earlier. I was like, I always remembered they tried to get just about everybody in, and you're like, they weren't in 07. I was like, shut up. They were too. And then as we were sitting at the bar, I'm like watching, trying to see. I'm like, they were in it. They were not in it.
They were not in it. So you found the video?
I found the video. They were not in the 07 one shining moment.
My memory. I really felt slighted by that.
I was like, you know, Craig remembers all this shit, so probably they're not in it, but that sounds crazy to me.
Yeah, we're getting into the deeper rounds now, so.
Yeah.
It's funny to watch it without the song because we're just watching it at the bar.
We got no sound on the one shining moment.
Yeah. But hey, we got in.
Yeah, we did get in. I would expect that we will start to hear pretty soon some like hires and transfers and things like that.
We know the Final Four is like a networking event for coaches.
And today is the day when most of those folks fly home. Most of the networking takes place Friday, Saturday,
they don't
Sunday.
Watch the game.
Most of them fly out before the game on Monday. So. Yeah. So I imagine we'll start to hear some stuff. I think honestly, the only thing I'm really confident in is that Miles Rice isn't coming back.
No,
like that's the one that I feel is like, I just feel like he's moving on. He's moved on.
Yep.
The offers he's getting are substantial, and more than what, Wazoo would be able to really be competitive with. And to be honest, WSU is dealing with a limited pool of NIL money between the Cougar Collective and Crypto Cougs.
Mm-hmm.
Is it worth, you know, blowing your whole, you know, your whole stash on Miles Rice? And I don't think so. I think you're better off maybe trying to spread it around to keep a few guys that, you know, you might not otherwise.
And who haven't
be able
already kind of
so,
you know, guy, you know. Probably the next toughest guy to keep is probably Wells.
Yep.
And he would be a massive player to keep.
Yep.
You know, the upside on him is so high.
Yep.
And really, like his first season in Division I, we just saw him throughout the year grow as a player and become more comfortable. And he would absolutely tear apart the West Coast Conference.
Yes.
Like the way we see Gonzaga's 6'8".
Yes.
Wings destroy the West Coast Conference. Yep. Like Jalen would absolutely do that.
Yeah.
It's
going to be really interesting with him. I don't think he can ascend to lottery pick status, but I could definitely see him potentially sneaking into the first round.
Yeah. The crazy thing with him is he has not entered the transfer portal or.
Yeah, which is wild.
Yeah. And if he doesn't get the draft promise that he wants, it seems like he's coming back to Wazoo. Which I think either situation is ultimately good for Wazoo.
Yeah.
Obviously, I would want him to come back.
Yes.
Because I think if he comes back and we have him as the centerpiece of our offense.
Yes.
that's you're set to be a damn good team next year with what they could build out. And then you look at other guys, Watts. His dad has been so adamant, like hyping the Cougs. It's like it seems weird. Obviously, Watts said he's going to come back, and then he said Jalen's come back, but he said it for him. So
yes,
yeah.
So who?
So it does seem like Isaiah Watts probably going
to
come
back.
But
he certainly did not. He hasn't done anything to dispel that notion. He hasn't gone to the portal, as you said. You know, and then
I think that the deadline for the portal is like coming up.
Got a couple weeks.
Got a couple more weeks. There's a lot of movement on those last couple days.
Yeah, but I think like all of the stuff that. So I don't know. Did you watch any of Riley's introductory press conference?
I was dealing with my children.
Yeah, I was working. I didn't watch it live. I watched it afterward. But, you know, pretty much every player who is eligible to return was there, except for Miles, right?
And Chinyelu was there.
Chinyelu was there. Clough Yaki was there as was like, hey, maybe. He went through the whole senior day stuff, but maybe he'll, you know, give it another thought. Wells and Watts, of course, both there. You know, other guys there, too.
One thing that I hope is, like, if a couple guys come back, like, it gets more of the guys. Because it seems like the culture around the team was so big this year.
Yes.
And like, they seem to really enjoy playing with each other. And now we're going to have to give Wells money. And I think between Crypto and Crypto Cougs and the collective, they do have enough to give him a good offer.
I think they can be competitive.
A very competitive offer. And then the other guys aren't going to get massive offers. Like Chinyelu, they're not giving guys.
Well, Chinyelu being international.
It makes it harder.
There's only so much they can do.
Yeah. I would love just to see what Riley could do with him.
Yeah.
And again, a guy that would just absolutely destroy the West Coast Conference.
Yep.
And a guy that gives you the chance to, you know, compete with Gonzaga and St. Mary's.
Yep.
Because of just his physical presence inside. Yep. And I could see his freshman to sophomore jump being massive.
Oh, yeah.
Like, because we just saw it throughout the season.
Yeah, he was even better as the season went along, right?
Yeah, like, and just his size. His athleticism, his fucking arms, like the length of his arms is just it's crazy. Like when he figured out he could block shots in the middle of the season, like
I know,
like
he also worked out some post moves and got better. He was like early in the year, having like
two post masters and Jones and Clough on the team. You know,
yep. Clough's another one that I think I'm pretty confident is going.
Yeah.
I just don't see where he fits with. Well, two things. One is I'm not sure he fits with what Riley wants to do, even though Riley said at his news conference, hey, I want everybody back.
Yeah.
But also, I think Clough.
Well, yeah, you want the Pac-12 players back.
Of course. But I think Clough was recruited mostly by Shaw. And I don't think Shaw's.
He was 100% a Shaw player.
Yeah, so I don't think Shaw's sticking around. So I think he very likely follows Shaw wherever Shaw ends up. So, you know, there's that. But I think if you can, you know, keep Wells, keep Watts, you know, keep Chinyelu, keep Yakimovsky, and then add, you know, so a bunch of the Eastern guys are now in the portal.
Yep.
You know, they all, you know, Lawan Watts was sort of the latest one today. 6'6", 233 freshman. Mark Sandritter described him as a what'd he say, a buffed up DJ Rodman or something like that. But he
Cedric Coward.
Yeah, Cedric Coward, you know, one of the best players in the Big Sky. Not that you want to build you don't
want to build your team.
Yeah, I mean, you don't want to port all of the Eastern Washington guys in, but if you
and have
you
that know, be your team, like yeah, cause exactly. They were 150th on whatever,
which is a like, middle of the road ish, you know,
152nd
WCC
on
team.
KenPom, yeah.
But if you're bringing in, you know, the top guys, if you're bringing in Coward, if you're bringing in Casey Jones, if you're bringing in Ethan Price, and you're bringing in Watts, like if you're taking those four guys, you know, that's pretty significant. You know, and then maybe you keep Jabe. Jabe could play in the West Coast Conference, I think. I don't think that's...
Well, he was a backup player for St. Mary's, so he's done it before.
Yeah, you know, so I don't think if he sticks around, I don't think, you know, I think you can get some good.
I mean,
I can't see
Jabe, you know, Jabe, he hasn't entered the portal. He might just not want to move again.
Maybe.
I feel like he likes.
And he seemed like Pullman. He was a great teammate this year, and I think he could definitely contribute.
And he probably seeing like an opportunity to get more playing time next year, especially in Riley's system
exactly, where defense is not out. As much of a premium.
And you're playing five out, so
yep.
Yeah, like you're. Which is when Jabe got a lot of playing time the year before, WSU was playing a five-out offense.
Yep.
And so, like, yeah. Like, yep. I... Now,
he
like,
could definitely be a useful player.
The pie-in-the-sky dream is that Isaac Jones somehow gets a sixth season and comes back, and he is the centerpiece of the five-out offense with
yes.
him as the five. That's, like, the Mo Gay five. Yep. On crack, like yep. him just dominating, and that, like that would yeah. just be a dream. But
and then Riley yeah. can get him shooting like, you know, 500 threes a day.
Yeah,
right. So he can shoot some threes.
Not like Mo was good at shooting threes.
Mo hit a few.
Hit that one against Arizona.
Mo hit a few.
And Isaac hit one.
Yeah,
he did not even hit a few. He hit one.
He hit a few in Idaho.
I will truly. It you know, I will miss watching Isaac play.
Yes.
Like now that we talk about it, like. And we talked about it earlier, like,
yeah.
he's just such a unique and special player.
Yeah.
And if, like, even if, like, he comes back and plays for a team that doesn't play Wazoo, I would watch that team's games. Just because, like, his style of play is so unlike any other player I've ever seen.
Yeah.
And, like, and I just, it was so fun to watch. I'm so glad that WSU got him. To come play the
even
one season.
Even just for one season, man.
And obviously a massive reason. Like, him, Jalen, and Miles, the big reasons why they were able to be a NCAA tournament team.
Yep.
If you're looking at – if you bring back the guys from Wazoo, add some of the guys from Eastern, you already have a good roster there.
Yep.
Now, will that happen? I don't know. And outside of that, I don't even want to speculate what the roster is going to be because as we saw with Kyle rebuilding rosters every year, guys out of left field, like the best transfer portal guys aren't coming to Wazoo, ever.
No.
So like you'd be like, oh yeah, that, well, except Isaac last year. But we hired his best friend, basically.
Well, I mean, Jalen Wells committed and we all went, we did the D2 thing before and it wasn't great.
Yeah, like, but. But it was a 6'8 D2 guy instead of a 5'8
D2 like,
guy.
Well, okay, he's 6'8. Is he really 6'8 or is this like a D2 6'8?
Yeah, like, is he slow?
Or is he going to be athletic?
Is he going to be
enough?
Jabe? Is he going to be like Jabe 2.0?
Exactly. Like, is he athletic enough? Like, obviously, all of that work, you know, so it really just kind of went to show, like, Clough was another great example, like a JUCO guy. We're like, you know, how good can he doesn't have any other big offers. Like, what's the deal there? And then, obviously, he didn't have a great finish to the year, but he was super important for about
they would not have gotten to where they were. Yeah. He was one of the best players on the team for a very important time.
We just don't know. We don't know any of these guys, which is – I do think that, you know, for people who don't particularly care for – college athletics the way it's being done right now, like that's the part where I think I can sort of like I can empathize with them a little bit, because so much of what is fun about college sports, or has been fun for the, you know, last, you know, four decades of my life, is like the idea that a guy comes in and you know he's going to be around for a few years, so you watch him develop. You really are able to identify with the team. And I do think you saw that was part of what happened with the women's tournament this year, was you had these teams that had players and that had been around for years. And, you know, the Caitlin Clark doesn't happen this year if Caitlin Clark didn't happen last year and the year before that.
Yeah.
Right? Paige Beckers.
I mean, Caitlin Clark and Paige Beckers played against each other in the Sweet 16 when they were freshmen.
Right.
And it was a hyped-up game.
Exactly. Then. You know, and then South Carolina, I'm not sure there was quite the investment individual player-wise with them, but just them being a juggernaut. Angel Reese, right? Like, that's
LSU,
another one.
Yep.
You know, LSU coming back, but, you know, rematch against Iowa. you know, all of that. And so I do feel for the fans who are like, it's just harder to get into and stay with a thing, right? So like you and I are obviously super basketball nerds, you know, with the basketball team between last year and this year, you know, we were just like, okay, well, we trust Kyle Smith, and that's just it. Like, Kyle Smith's a really good coach. We trust Kyle Smith. It's going to be fine. But at the same time, it was like, even us trusting him, like, we didn't look at that and go like, oh yeah, all these guys are super great. These guys are going to be awesome.
They had a lot of guys that came in and just weren't good.
And we all went, okay, I'm sure they'll be fine because Kyle Smith teams are always fine.
And when you're looking at like D2 up transfers and JUCO guys, you're like, whoa.
Yeah, like I don't know who any of these fucking guys are.
That's like a massive lottery. Like there, you know.
The one guy that I thought we had a pretty decent beat on was Yesufu, and he barely played.
Yeah, he got hurt.
Right?
I remember, he did play better than I thought he would be before he got hurt. But
Isaac, honestly, I don't know if
Yesufu doesn't get hurt, do they end up being the tournament team that we saw?
Probably not.
I don't know, because going big is what, you know.
I mean, maybe they end up there anyway.
Maybe they end up in there anyway. You know, Kyle Smith's a good coach. Like, you know, they probably still play D. Yesufu is their best on-ball perimeter defender, and that's what they were sorely lacking. But it turned out just having guys bigger than the other guys worked out really well.
It helps. So even though we don't know when we hear guys committing, we're not going to know much about them in terms of like how well it's going to translate or anything like that. But I do feel, you know, so you mentioned you feel good about David Riley building a good offense. You felt like that was,
he seems like he knows what he's doing in that regard.
And then when I was watching his news conference, and so I guess, you know, for people who haven't watched it yet, it would be worth going back and checking it out. But, you know, obviously Craig and I were very much on the Jim Shaw bandwagon. We very much want Jim Shaw to get the job. You know, very much thought that was the best path forward for the program. But in listening to David Riley talk, I could sort of see what the allure was for Kirk Schultz, for Ann McCoy. I could see why he was the guy, and not just like all the stuff we talked about with like his results and the KenPom stuff and the adjusted offensive efficiencies that are great and all those things. Just personality wise, I could see what the attraction was. He spoke a lot at his news conference about family, about building a place where people want to be. And I know a lot of coaches do that. They say those things. But there is there's a truly genuine nature to him that, you know, we mentioned the goodbye letter that he wrote. Yeah. You know, I think it comes through in that. And just like the way that he talked at the news conference, he was extremely nervous, very, very, very nervous.
That's
and
good.
Not super articulate, because you could just tell he was just very nervous. And there was something super just earnest and endearing about it with him.
Yeah, well, we saw, like, we would see Ernie go to press conferences over and over again, never nervous at all.
That was a guy who won the press conference. It was a horrible coach.
Yeah.
And Riley, I don't know, man.
We saw, like, is Kyle good? Like, Kyle would say funny things, but Kyle's, like, intro press conference, he didn't blow anyone away.
Yeah.
Like, people are still like, who the hell is this guy? Like, yeah, but who does... Who currently employed by Wazoo?
Yes.
Does all that remind you of?
Yes.
And it's Jake Dicker.
Yes.
Like it's just they're looking for that.
It
guy.
Was really hard to, like, you would have to actively be trying to not see the parallels.
Mm-hmm.
Like, just the way that they talk, the values that they say are important. And I won't say he is Dicker. I mean, Dickert is very much a football coach guy.
Basketball coaching and football coach are very different.
And Riley is, you know, has got some basketball coach vibes. But it still was just like you could just tell that he meant what he said, that he does, that he absolutely believes in fostering a family environment. You could tell it from watching the way the Eastern guys played with and for each other. And that was the thing that he said. Like, he was like, my offense, the offense doesn't have any special sauce. Like, we just, you know, we play unselfish and we play hard. And, you know, you can achieve those heights when you play hard for each other. And, you know, just to sort of tease something real quick, you know, Bryce Hendricks writing a newsletter for us that's going to go out for our premium subscribers, just breaking down. He's, you know, the Coug Center guy, for those of you who, you know, follow us all the way back to
Coug
Center.
If you've read Bryce's stuff, yes, it's amazing.
Thorough breakdowns of X's and O's and things like that.
An incredible knowledge of basketball.
Yeah, and one of the things he said kind of right off the top is that the offense actually isn't all that complex, and it really sort of like fits right in with what Riley was saying, which is like, man, when you play hard and you play for each other and you play unselfish and you want to see others succeed, you can be really, really good.
What's that air raid philosophy, right?
Yeah.
Just like, you're not doing anything complicated. Yeah. You're just doing it over and over again. Yeah. And you trust the other players to do what they're supposed to do.
He just seems like a really, really good fit for our school. Not just like schematically or whatever. And I do think there's some of that. You know, you got to have a little something different that you do. But just personality-wise, I could see the attraction. And, you know, even if it wasn't going to be Jim Shaw.
I got to pull it up so I can see Jalen.
Yeah. If it wasn't going to be Jim Shaw. I think Riley checks all the boxes. I'm really excited. It's feeling a lot like the Kyle Smith hire, where when he got hired, I went, eh.
Can't play too much of it. I know. DMCA warning.
But yeah, they'll strike us down.
I only did like
copyright.
1 second of the song. I'm pretty sure we're under the threshold there.
Yeah. Anyway, I just like, the more I dig into Riley, and then the more I saw him at the news conference, the more I thought, I think this is going to be really good. And I don't know how much I'm going to be able to evaluate. Yeah. I don't know how much I'm going to be able to evaluate between now and November, because again, we don't know who these guys are. But
I mean, this is how
it is what it is. And I feel good about him.
We remember last basketball offseason was awful. Like, it was a miserable time.
Mm-hmm.
We lost every good player on the team.
Yep.
And at least the top four best players. And then we just got all these guys who we knew nothing about.
Yep.
You know, and I think probably the one guy we were most confident about was Isaac. And he turned out to be probably better than I even hoped. And then we had Miles, who we were like, I don't know. Like, we heard he's good, but like, I don't know.
Yeah.
So
who knows? He hasn't played ball in 2 years. No big deal, right?
Yeah. You know, so it's going to be, we're going to have a lot to talk about, which is cool.
Yeah.
I'm optimistic about what Riley can do.
Yeah.
It's also, it helps that we're playing in a conference where there's two really good teams, one decent team, and then a lot of really shitty teams.
Yep.
So you're not like going to go through a grind, like the grind that you do. And even in the bad pack, even in the lean pack 12 years, you're still playing top 100 teams on the road constantly.
Yep.
You know, like, so it's a little different, but I also want them to still be at that level. We've been in the top 75 for KenPom for like 4 years in a row now. I would love Riley to keep us there.
Yep.
'Cause if you're there, then you're four close game wins away from a tournament being a bubble team.
Yep.
And so like that's and I hope so. I'm just hoping that like when he is out looking for players, he's thinking about that.
Yes.
And not the big, like what was going to get him to win the Big Sky.
Yes.
I want him to think about, how am I going to compete with St. Mary's and Gonzaga?
Yep.
And I hope that's where he's at. Yeah. And I'm sure it is.
Yeah.
I'm sure it is. Like, every coach starts at a smaller school and comes above. Like, immediately when Kyle Smith, you know, went from San Francisco to here.
Yep.
He was recruiting better players
than
he had at Columbia and San Francisco.
I mean, he away was like, but okay, I
also,
need these kinds of
there's
players
also
to
the
win
worry.
Washington
there's also
State.
The worry that WACs aren't going to land those players.
Right.
Because you're not being like, oh, you're in a power conference.
Yeah.
Because how many, like, Derek Lowe, Clay Thompson, like, you know, like, you just think about some of the great players in WAC history started out with no offers from big schools, and WAC was their one, and then they went
Clay Thompson.
That's what I just said. Clay Thompson and Derek Lowe. Derek Lowe, only Pac-12 offer.
Yep.
Pac-10, or only major school offer
yep.
was Wazoo. you know, he's out there in Hawaii. He was a highly rated recruit, but still he was out there in Hawaii. And
yep.
I don't know if you ever seen the high school highlights of him dunking and shit, but
he's like a fucking legend
in Hawaii. Like he's one of the greatest like Hawaiian basketball players of all time.
Well, Kyle Smith made it a point when he got hired. He was like, when I sat down with him a month or so after he got hired and he was talking, he was like, basically his whole sales pitch was going to be like, this is the big time. Come to Pullman, you play in the big time and we'll like focus on getting you better. And like it really was selling the Pac-12.
I think what, and from the vibe I'm getting from the athletic department, obviously we don't have an AD right now and the president and stuff, is that I think what they're telling players is we're going back to the big time. This is just like a brief respite.
That was very much the message at the introductory conference.
We're not a West Coast conference basketball team. This is just a stopover. This is just, we have to play somewhere. We have to make it easier to schedule. This is not like football where you can just throw together a schedule. You have 31
games.
I don't know. It's going to be interesting. I'm glad we have a coach.
Yes.
And
a coach we can feel good about.
Yeah,
man.
Like just like a coach, if like, he won, really nice. You'd feel good about it. Like because he's like, because there's like brief times when like Bob Huggins was getting mentioned. I'm
oh
like,
my God,
are you fucking one? Regardless of all the other stuff, dude's 70.
Yes.
And then when you add the other stuff, like his using the F word on a live radio.
Not the F word that we use.
Yeah.
The other F word, the six letter
not
F
fuck.
Word. So, and people making comparisons to Leach on that one was silly.
The drinking.
Leach was
DUIs
like 55, right?
Yeah.
Leach was like 55 when we hired him or something. Yeah. Like this is not the same.
Which is very normal, like football coach age.
It's not the same.
Yeah. Like Huggins, like if the funny thing is, was that we had heard like scuttlebutt about like the excuse for Jim Shaw was like they're worried about his health, and you're like
his health and his age.
But Huggies,
Huggy
Bear,
you got a guy who's 70 years old with a bum heart, like, like good luck on that one.
Obviously, like long term, big drinker.
Yeah,
no shade there. Well, I ain't got no DUIs, Bobby.
Yes.
And you've had a lot more money than I
do. That's right. You walk down the street.
Yes.
To your neighborhood.
Or you just call an Uber or a taxi cab.
Yeah.
When you're a millionaire,
Mark Few. Lots of solutions. Well, should we talk about, since we're at the bar, should we talk about, it's not really a bar. Tap room.
Beer Star. Yeah.
Should we talk about our beer?
Yeah, let's talk about our beer. Oh, hey, D, can I have the other beer?
Oh, hey.
So D said, could you text me when you want me to bring it over? And I said, no, I'm going to yell at you because it'll be funnier on the pod. And then she said, I'm going to hate that. And the look on her face is yes, she hated it. Well, no one else is in here.
Yeah.
What are we? Oh, we're still an hour and a half from closing. D, can you come tell me the beer that you're pouring? Will you be on the pod?
All right. So
you've been mentioned on the pod several times.
There we go.
This is my favorite bartender, D.
Yep. All right. We got a
welcome,
gold dot.
D. Jeff, would you like to interview D about this beer?
Yeah. All right. So I can see we got a can.
Most famous bartender here, friends.
Yes. This is the famous D.
I've picked out a rice lager from Gold Dot Brewing called Super Clear. I have heard nothing but good things about this beer.
And
give them some history on what Gold Dot Brewing is. You don't?
I don't know.
Okay.
Why I'm
don't
sure
you
Craig
give
does,
us
though.
Some all, all some history on the Gold Dot because I don't know either.
Okay. So I'm sure a lot of y'all have heard of Heater Allen Brewing, which is famously German styles, like lager only brewery. And then they created this second brewery to basically be more experimental and make... We've seen IPAs from them, right? Like, mm-hmm. you've bought IPAs. B by D... B. Ooh. I do that a lot. I have my daughter B and my friend D. But D buys the IPAs, the brown ales, the
pale
stouts,
ales,
basically
stouts.
All the ales.
All the ales, yep. Stouts, nitro.
So this is a lager, so you're getting some of someone else bought.
I didn't buy it, but it was a good buy.
Yeah, it was a good buy.
I stand by it.
Yeah. But Gold Dot, we've had IPAs from them, and that's something Heater Island would have never made. And so I was a bit surprised that they jumped in and got a rice lager.
They're so popular right now, the rice lagers.
I know,
everyone
I
is
love
making
them.
A rice lager.
They're so good.
They're so good, 100%.
I just had a Wayfinder, like, I need to, I'll get you one. I bought a 4-pack, the dry hopped rice lager. It's
ooh,
so freaking
so
good. And it has the best can art.
Wayfinder always does, though.
I know. Yeah. That's why I love them. I'm wearing my Wayfinder beanie. So, yeah. Well, D, I'm very excited to drink this beer. D picks out pretty much all my beer unless the 50-sided die picks it out. One or the other.
It's pretty much
always
me.
It's usually way better when D picks the beer out. So, thanks, D.
All right, I'm going to go get back to this empty bar with all of my non-existent customers.
Yeah. Oh, that line. Look at that line that backed up.
Yeah.
Jeez.
Oh, wow. Look at all the
oh, my God. There's so many people. Mad people. They're like, what is the bartender doing
probably,
over there?
The recording probably can hear the echo now. Like, there were all kinds of people in here before, and now it's just echoing.
Thanks
now.
For staying up for us, Steve. Appreciate it.
Yeah. All right. Well,
you've never done that before.
As you are, you're gonna try your rice lager here.
Right,
so
yep.
I'll give you my.
I was drinking a sticky hands before this, so.
Oh, you did.
Hopefully,
you
my palate ain't wrecked.
That's a sticky hands. Yeah. That is a palate.
Hey,
record.
Watch you take a sip of it.
So the sticky hands.
We'll have a community.
Yeah,
beer of the game.
Sticky hands is what I finished with because I have to drive home. So I had a little 8-ounce pour of sticky hands, and now I'm gonna try the Gold Dot here. Oh yeah. Yep.
Man, I like bready, biscuity aroma.
Yep. Mm. But not like overpowering.
Mm-hmm.
Just very light.
Oh, I could drink. It's so.
That is crushable.
No overt sweetness whatsoever. It's just so crushable. Like, it's so good.
Oh. That'd be a spectacular summertime beer.
So Gold Dot. Definitely check out Gold Dot if you see it around. Like, they,
yeah.
Like, everything
well, we
I've
the,
had from them has been good.
We had the Gold Dot export lager earlier.
Yes, and that was delicious.
The Dortmunder, that was delicious.
Yes, as if they say export lager, it's actually a Dortmunder.
Yes.
So Jeff and I will
and
always
love,
go for Dortmunders.
We do love Dortmunders.
Yeah.
And then what was the one I started with? It was a fast fashion.
Hold on.
Scroll up on the Slack. Keep going.
Birding.
There we go. Yes, it was
New
Birding.
Zealand Pilsner, or was it the...
No, it was the German.
The German
Pilsner.
Style
Pilsner, yeah.
Oh, I had that as well.
Yeah, that was delicious.
Yep. Fast fashion, mostly known for their hazies, but
yeah.
They crushed those
yeah.
those lagers as yep. well.
That was and awesome.
It, yep. Fast fashion is an offshoot of the Masonry Bar, in and now they have two locations in Seattle. Highly recommend the Soto location if you're going to a game.
Ooh.
Yeah, it's
we should probably do that at some
yeah.
point.
It's a awesome fun tapper.
Yeah.
Like it's they also have a Super Nintendo that you can always play Ken Griffey Jr. Presents Major League Baseball on.
We gotta do that.
Yep.
We gotta do that.
Which my sister and I have done multiple times.
I did on Saturday when I took the boys up to the Sounders. We went up to Collins, and I had I had the Russian River Damnation Belgian
yep.
ale,
classic Russian River beer. Yeah,
that was pretty good. That was a little. It was definitely really funky.
Yeah,
super tasty. The other one I had was the. Crap. It's called Willitizer.
Yes, Willitized.
Yes, Willitized. There we go. With by
Lagunitas.
That's right. So much coffee. Oh my God. So much coffee.
So those beers, famously, Willitized and High Westified before it. It just depends on the barrel they got. I remember, like, it was like 6-7 years ago. When they started pumping out those beers, these barrel-aged stouts, they're so high quality, these barrel-aged coffee stouts, and they were selling them, like, you could get a case, like, 12 of them for, like, $24.
Yeah.
Like, so it was basically, like, $2
yeah.
a beer for a 12-ounce, 13% barrel-aged stout, and like a really good one.
Yeah.
So there was like a time in like the beer nerd community where people were like, "Fucking Willetize! Like, we're so tired of buying $30 goddamn barrel-aged stouts, bombers. We could just get this 12-ounce beer, drink it by ourselves. It's amazing."
Yeah.
Like, so it was definitely a nice little like thing they've done, and I've seen those beers here at Beer Star before as well, and like it's nice to see, nice to have those like those because it used to be like barrel-aged stouts were such like a like it was like only certain like if you're really into beer you had them, and now there's like so many, and then there's like a lot of like entry level ones that are actually really good now.
As our
beer that we were drinking is a rice lager, we're now talking about barrel-aged stouts. But anyway, so Jeff, I had no plan what to talk about after basketball.
Yeah, I don't think there's much
else
to
talk about.
The baseball
team is they 1-3 from Stanford.
They did pull out the last one against Stanford.
They blew it in the ninth on Friday. Mariners and Cougs like back to back blew it in the ninth.
They seem on the verge of being pretty decent, but also struggling to win the close ones.
That was a big thing in the Brian Green area as well. Like the bullpen was always just a nightmare.
It's tough to get enough arms, man.
Yeah.
Like you can find bats all over the place, but it is tough to get enough arms.
It definitely seems like the bats are not 100% there as well, but I think they've been better hitting than people expected.
Yeah.
But yeah, they missed a chance at a big win against TCU, where I do think that they hit a game winning, like what would have been a game winning home run in extra innings, and it just, if they had better camera angles, we would have known that it was a game winning home run.
Yeah.
But anyway, so they lost that game, and that it seems like since then, like, yeah, like that UW series was tough after the incredible 17 strikeout shutout. Yeah.
Incredible.
Yeah, and then. But then they lost the next two, both, I think, identical scores, like 11-5, something like that. UW is not a good team.
No.
And so that was rough.
They were last place.
We did get the win on the day that Pat Chung got hired at UW.
So I guess that's good.
That's fine. Oh, yeah, we need an athletic director.
Yeah. Yeah, we do.
Yeah.
Yeah. We don't need a women's basketball coach, though, so that's good.
Yeah, the Tennessee did not hire Cammie Etheridge.
Yeah. So I think we're safe-ish.
Hopefully.
A few players in the portal there.
It's been a rough week on that, man.
Yep.
Charlize, you know, there was thoughts that she could come back. And then, obviously she still could. After she got hurt, she was going to declare for the WNBA if she didn't get hurt. And then she hurt her knee. And it would be tough for a team to draft a player who's rehabbing a torn ACL.
Yes.
Because as you may know,
season.
She wouldn't be able to play. Like, so there's no way a team would draft her. She's not going to play that season.
Right.
Like, as many of you probably know, like the WNBA draft is like almost immediately after the end of the college basketball season.
And then the WNBA season starts
in a couple weeks after that.
Yep.
So yeah, like it's, yeah, you're just, if you get hurt in your senior year late, like you're kind of fucked. Like, and so she had even said like it was open that she would come back, but now she's entered the portal and I'm sure she will be a very, very, very popular player in the portal.
Yeah.
Potentially the best player available.
Yep.
So it's gonna be interesting. Obviously, Yo Tadair also entered the portal. We didn't get to see her play at all this year. She was hurt all year. So she's leaving as well. And when those two things happened, we were both like, I think everyone was like, oh, Cammie's gone.
Yeah.
That dip down to West Coast Conference. Maybe for some of the players who came to play, major college ball, like they, it's not, Charlize especially. I'm just like, it would just be about like beating Gonzaga and that was it, So I can totally see her as a competitor and she's going to be so sought after.
Yep.
So if she came back to Wazoo, I would love it. We love you, Charlize. You're my favorite Yes. Wazoo athlete, maybe my favorite athlete of all time. But I'm just happy that we got 4 years. We were talking about earlier about how we didn't get to see players like develop. We didn't get to see players like play, you know, in the men's team. But like we got 4 years of chart. Well, three to fucking 3.6 years.
Yep.
There's still a lot of bummer on the.
Yeah.
But the women did go on that run. And I don't think we really talked about, you know, kind of, I don't know. There must just be a curse, like men going to the semifinals of the NIT.
Once you get to that women, Final Four.
The Final Four, it just like falls apart.
There's a brick wall there.
Obviously, that was a bummer of a game to watch.
They struggled super hard against Illinois. They just could not. They see a lot of really good athletes in the Pac-12, but they looked like they hadn't seen a good athlete in a while, and which I guess maybe they hadn't.
But honestly, that's how they looked against Florida Gulf Coast last year.
Yeah,
and that's
true.
But they did get those three wins at home. That was cool.
It was super
like
fun.
Bella hitting the game-winning shot on her last shot in Pullman was
super fun.
What a great moment! Yeah. And
it's, you know, getting blown out in the semifinals sucks, but I don't know. For me, like, I don't know how you feel, but you know, same thing with the men's NIT runs where it was like it doesn't make it any less the journey any less fun.
Yeah,
like I. You know, the games were fun.
Winning all three games
fun.
In Pullman. Yeah. That's so fun.
Like, it was cool
you
as hell.
You get three extra games in Pullman.
You know, for the – you could tell that the players were super into it, which was something I wasn't sure they would be, right?
Yeah.
Like, I don't know them, but, like, you know, it would be easy to be disappointed. And, you know, they played it as if it was super, super important to them. And, and so since they played as if it was super important, I'm glad they kept winning so that they could keep having fun. And, you know, take a, you know, the smiles from after those wins, I think you can't discount that. And I think that's super important. So,
yeah. And if we're looking ahead, players that haven't entered the portal, there's a lot of talent on this team.
Yeah.
Obviously,
Genevieve is going to be a star.
Genevieve and LA Villa is already a star,
like
you could say. Like
that is a great place to start.
Yeah. Those two, yeah, and I think
and then Coville is just going to get better.
Yeah, Coville.
Good core.
Her ability to block shots.
Yeah.
is and her offensive game.
Yeah, the offensive game
is
going to come
polished
along.
Already too.
Yeah, like it's going to come along.
She can shoot 18 footers, like you know, like
yep.
I mean, she's built some muscle. Like she'll be a damn good player.
Yeah.
So yeah, there's players there. Like, and they're not going to be in this goddamn rigor that they had after Charlize got hurt, where they were playing top 15 teams twice a week, every week. And
trying to steady the ship.
Yeah, like there was no respite after Charlize got hurt.
Yep.
You know, they beat number 2 UCLA on the road.
Yep.
And Charlize gets hurt in that game. It's like, oh, cool. You get like the next 3 of your 4 games are against top 15 teams.
Yep.
Congrats. Like, yay. And then you got Arizona when they were hot. Because they had a nice run towards the end of the year and made it in, which, you know, I'm a big fan of Adia Barnes. So, you know, didn't hate that. But
yes, we are all aware.
Even D's aware of that.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so it was, you know, it's the women's season didn't happen how we expected it to. Like early in the season, we expected them to challenge for hosting NCAA tournament games.
Yeah,
like I literally had hotels booked just in case.
Yeah,
but you know, once Charlize got hurt, we knew that wasn't the case, going to be the case, and so that was a real bummer. But it was so nice that they had the end of that season to win those 3 games in Pullman, get some good feelings back. Obviously, they probably not all the good feelings in that semifinal, but they can look back at those games, especially that last win.
Yep.
With Bella hitting the game winner.
Yeah.
I'm glad they got some like good vibes happening after, you know, the way they got their butts kicked by Cal in the Pac-12 tournament.
Yep.
When we thought like you beat Cal, you might be in, and the way they were number 1 seed in the WBIT,
yeah,
Yeah, probably you beat Cal and you're probably in.
Yep.
So, yeah. But, yeah, you know, hopefully Cammy stays. Hopefully a lot of the players stay because I think they could be very good next year again. Yep. Especially the way they've been recruiting, you know, if they can keep bringing in players and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, I you know, and, you know, Gonzaga's a good – that could be a hell of a rivalry, those two programs in the next 2 years.
Yep.
So, yeah, I hope we get to see that. Yeah. I don't know, Jeff. Yeah,
I think that's it, man.
That's it. That's all.
I think that's all we got.
So we've talked about it many times. We have a premium subscriber option now. We have a good number of people that have joined our Slack, and it's been a really fun time. Actually, a lot of people who are connected and sharing shit in there, like the scuttlebutt is fantastic in the Slack,
it is.
Man. You know, scuttlebutt to be, I guess, the tea for you, the younger listeners. The tea.
Spill the tea.
The tea is great in the Slack. Yeah, D just gave me a look. That was pretty funny.
Young people.
I just got like she turned around and looked at me.
Subscribe to the newsletter, podcastversuseveryone.com.
We've already went beyond our... We didn't want to promise any extra content, but we've already got... We've done an extra bonus Q&A that's been published only on the Slack.
Only on the Slack.
And then we're also... As Jeff mentioned earlier, Bryce Hendricks is going to write a detailed post breaking down Eastern Washington's David Riley's offense.
Awesome things that he does with video and all that shit.
Yep, it's going to be an incredible post.
It's going to be fantastic.
And that's only going to be available to subscribers. And we appreciate
and
all y'all that have subscribed,
cost
by
much,
the way.
Man.
It really doesn't.
$50 for an annual membership
or $5,
or $5 a month. Yep.
Yeah, and honestly, like, I feel honestly in that Slack that I'm cheating, that I don't have to pay for it, because sometimes I'm like, I'm getting so much value out of this,
pretty,
and I'm not, this is
fun.
So genuine, I'm not even trying to sell, like,
it's pretty fun,
like, there's a lot of fun people in there, we're having a good time. If any of you are old Kook Center heads, if you remember the Kook Center comment section in like 2012, like, it is, which
it's
I would consider
like
the peak of that, was like, it's a lot like that, it's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
But yeah, so go ahead, podcastversuseveryone.com. You can subscribe, and then you can also premium. If you haven't subscribed at all, you can subscribe to the newsletter, and then you can get premium subscription if you want. If you want to pay for it, pay us. It does cost us money to do this, so we're not really trying to become millionaires here. We're just trying not to.
But if enough people want to subscribe to make us millionaires, I mean.
Yes.
You know.
I don't know if there's enough Kook fans in the world for that, but. I have to up the subscription price.
Yeah, yeah.
We're going to be like, okay, $5 this year, but this month.
It's
going to
be like $1,000.
Your second month
next
is $1,000. And we're not going to tell you. It's just going to auto.
It's just going to happen.
Auto happen. Grammarly, my fucking Grammarly account. I have, swear to God, I canceled it. And then it showed up. It got popped up like on my PayPal. Just came up again. I'm like, I guess I have Grammarly again.
Okay.
Like, just, I can't get rid of Grammarly. We will not be like Grammarly.
No.
We won't do that.
No. All right.
All right. So, Jeff, obviously, go fucking Kooks.
Go fucking Kooks, Craig. Black Lives Matter.
Black Lives Matter.
And get vaccinated.
Still, yeah, get vaccinated.
Support a union.
Jeff, proud union member. Yes.
Fuck yeah.